Amen. Welcome to River of Life. We're so glad you're here this morning. And hello to all of our church that is online this morning. Several people are in quarantine. Others couldn't get out of their driveways this morning. And so we just thank God that the church is still gathering. Many people text me and said, thank God that you're on Facebook Live. And we want to give Cindy a hand. She works very hard to keep us online, and we so appreciate her. She learned all this last year when COVID hit, and so she's been faithful to continue to grow in it. We so appreciate her so that our church can be online together. Amen. Well, welcome to our series. We are doing a new series this month called Renewed. And so let's just pray as we get started today. Let's bow our heads. And Lord, we honor you. We thank you for your presence this morning, Lord. You're moving in the midst of your people. We sense that you are here, Lord. And we thank you, God, that this morning you teach us about what the Bible says about being renewed. And Father, we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to grow this month. Help us, Lord, to leave the past behind and to press on toward the high calling of the prize that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, I thank you for every listening ear. Bless them in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. Welcome to everyone. Once again, all our friends and guests that are here, we're so glad you joined us today. Last Sunday, we did 12 baptisms. And then on Monday night, we did 3 more. So let's give the Lord a praise for 15 baptisms last week. And some of the people were going to share their testimony about how God has renewed their life today. But that whole group ended up in quarantine. And so it can wait because it's good. Amen? Amen. So at the right time, we're going to have them come. And also, Stephanie and her boys came and were baptized on Monday evening. She wasn't able to make it on Sunday. And she is, her family was one of the families that our church sponsored. And I just wanted to read you her thank you. Thank you, River of Life Church, for generously donating gifts to us and for taking us under your wing and welcoming us with open arms. We are so blessed to be a part of this new church family. God has met every need and poured out so many undeserved blessings during this time. I continue to see how he speaks to people and sends people to us during our time of need. Thank you. Love, Stephanie, Ryder, and Braxton. So, Father, bless this family. Thank you, Lord, for this family. God supernaturally connected us, brought her to the church for some counseling reasons, and she has a powerful testimony how she met with Jesus and how he brought her out of a pagan cult over this last year. And so we're excited to hear her testimony. Are you excited to hear it? Yes, yes. And so we're going to get that testimony one way or another, if I have to do it by recording or whether she can get here live. But keep Stephanie in your prayers. And keep all of those who were baptized in your prayers. Jordan and his family wanted to come, but his sister got COVID and they were all around her. So, you know, that's how that goes. They're doing well, but once you've been exposed, you go into quarantine. Hallelujah. But we just keep praying that this whole thing will end. Amen? Amen. God is able. Tell your neighbor, God is able. He lifted the plagues off the children. Off of Egypt and protected the children of Israel. So we believe God can protect us. Amen. And he can just remove it in Jesus' name. So we're going to get into our message on being renewed, but I wanted to just share that with you. I'm so excited what God is doing in these 15 people's lives. You pray for them. Pray for them that the Holy Spirit surrounds them. So this morning, as we get into our message, today we're speaking about being renewed in our spirit. And you see, that's what we're seeing taking place in people. And that's one of the most exciting things to be a part of, when your spirit becomes renewed. And there's times in our lives, it just becomes apparent that God wants to do a new thing in us. And sometimes it coincides with the beginning of the year and the changing of seasons or just changing of life circumstances. We realize that God is moving each one of us into a deeper relationship with Him, a more meaningful relationship with Him. And you know that move can be difficult, and sometimes it's confusing. But either way, if we can recognize what God is doing and allow Him, we've got to cooperate. Tell your neighbor, you've got to cooperate. If we will allow Him to do that good work on the inside of us, then we will see this renewal process, this transformation take place. But on the other hand, we can resist it. To resist is to withstand the action or the effect of. We can resist God, but God will keep trying. Tell your neighbor, He'll keep trying. Aren't you glad He hasn't given up on you yet? He is faithful. So today we're starting the renewal series. And spiritual renewal is a term that Christians often use to describe what happens when God pours out His Spirit on His people. And when He is free to work powerfully in and through His people to show the world how real and mighty and good He is. So in my experience with the work of God, God does a whole work. We're body, soul, and spirit. So God's renewal is as much for our physical being as it is for our inner being. Because there are depths to us. We have a body. We live in a body. We have a soul. But we are a spirit. So let's go to Romans 12:2. Most of you are probably familiar with this passage. And let's read it together. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The greatest enemy to this renewal is conformity to the world. There are so many voices speaking to us. There is so much that goes on that tries to pull at our desires and our affections. And the world says, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you what you want. But the world does not have what you need. Only God has that. Hallelujah. So transformation comes when we renew our mind to God's will. Because God desires for us to experience renewal. Life can be hard, and the trials that we face can cause our spirits to become weary. Has anyone ever experienced weariness? Be honest this morning. It's the truth. You know, we have to be real about our salvation and about what God does in our life. Sometimes it's a real struggle, but we know He's always with us. Hallelujah. You know, relation conflict can cause really deep sorrow. Financial problems can be really, really stressful. And disappointments are very discouraging. And all these and more have a way of affecting our spiritual state. However, there is one thing above everything that causes us to need renewal within our spirit, and that one thing is sin. There's a saying that says, begin doing the right thing before you want to do the right thing. Have you ever sat there and told yourself you know what you're supposed to do? You know what the right thing is that you should be doing, but you don't get up and do it? I like John Maxwell. He said he told himself before he went to bed at night, he would tell himself, do it now, do it now, do it now. And he would say that over and over again until he got to a place in his life when he knew he needed to do something, he would get up and do it now. You should try that. I've tried it. It works, you know. I can tell myself, do it now, and I just do it. Most of the time, it's not going to take you that long to do what you know you're supposed to do. Am I talking to the right group this morning? We just kind of procrastinate, right? So begin doing the right thing before you want to do the right thing. and everything else will line up. The Bible talks about sin as missing the mark. It's an archery term that suggests that when we sin, we miss the intentions of God for us. So sin comes in many forms. It can be greed, it can be pride, it can be racism, it can be sin in finances or so many things in our thought life. But I, just a simple definition, sin is doing the opposite of what we know God wants us to do. And when you know God, He lets you know what He wants you to do. Amen? And when you read His word, it tells us. In James chapter 4, verse 17, from the Passion Translation, let's read that together. It says, so if you know of an opportunity to do the right thing today, yet you refrain from doing it, you're guilty of sin. I'm just going to let that stay there, because the Bible tells it. The Bible tells us that each of us were born with a sinful nature that has been handed down from the fall in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. And since Adam and Eve disregarded God and decided to live for themselves, most of us follow that suit. And we have to continually train ourselves to come back into alignment with God's will. You know, I was thinking about this week. There's two gardens that the Bible specifically talks about. One is the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden is where Adam and Eve chose to do their own thing. They chose to do their own will. And then the other garden is the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus poured out His heart and said, Lord, if this cup can just pass from me, let it pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. So when you think about it, we're either living from one garden or the other. We're living in this garden for ourselves, or we are living in the garden where we are surrendering and saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Thank you, Lord. So when sin comes in our life, it darkens our spirit and disconnects us from God, just like Adam and Eve. Sin is a rejection of God. And without renewal, we're destined to spend eternity apart from God. So we have to be renewed. And when we invite Jesus into our lives to forgive us and to give us strength to live differently, our spirit, our soul is renewed. And so let's read in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. If you would like to, you can join me. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So our outward man is perishing. Anybody kind of feel like sometimes your outward man is perishing? Hallelujah. We have those aches and those pains, and we know that our everything after you're born goes back, right, to earth. It's on that journey. So we know our outward man is perishing, but our inward man can be renewed and should be renewed day by day. So what we see with our natural eyes, what we see going on, is only temporary. And we need to get that perspective in life. This is temporary. I so appreciated my mom because she never held on to anything very tightly. She didn't hold on to things. But she was like, I enjoy this home, and I enjoy living in this house. But if the Lord decided to take this house, I'd just let it go. Because God would have another house for me, another place for me to live. Hallelujah. You see, we hold on to earthly things too tightly. Well, some of us do. So we got to let go. Because they're all temporal. But what we are doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, what He is doing on the inside of us, is eternal. And the words that we share with people and the encouragement we share with people, that is eternal. We need to get an eternal perspective on our life and get God's view. Because the work of the Holy Spirit first begins in our understanding. We need a divine understanding, and then that understanding can be carried out in our will and our affections and our conversation till our whole being. We were talking about God's concern with our body, soul, and spirit. Our whole being is being transformed into the likeness of God in our knowledge, in righteousness, and true holiness. So to be godly is to give up ourselves to God. That's what renewal is all about. When God starts calling you closer to Him, then there is something that we're holding on to that we need to let go of, leave behind, so that we can come into that deeper relationship with the Lord. We begin to see things and our understanding in a new light. Has anyone experienced that? It's like you see it in a different way. It's like, oh, I didn't see it that way before, but now I understand. So we give ourselves up to God. So renewal work that God is doing in you will cause you to surrender even more of your life to Him. Say, I surrender. Hallelujah. Did you mean it? This is the first Sunday of the year. Hallelujah. And Pastor Jay, he's up here preaching my message. He didn't read my notes, but he was exhorting the word that God gave us for this first Sunday. That's confirmation. Tell your neighbor, confirmation. So we're going to talk about what is a renewed spirit. And in the scripture, it says a renewed spirit is a clean spirit. So in the Old Testament, King David wrote a psalm after his sinful actions with Bathsheba. And David had had an adulterous affair with her, and then he arranged for her husband to be murdered. And so his sin harmed his relationship with God, and it harmed his relationship with other people, because sin always does. So David cries out to God in Psalm 51, and that's where we're going, verses 10 and 12. And this is what he cried out. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. That word renewed in the Hebrew is kabash, and it means to be new, to rebuild, to repair. He needed a renewal. He needed a repair from the Lord God Almighty. The state of our spirit has an effect on our connection with God. And so David prayed. He prayed to have the joy of his salvation restored. He actually was deceived, I believe, that he thought if he had Bathsheba, he would have some joy. He'd find some happiness. But he found out that that was a dead-end road. And he knew something was missing in his heart. He knew his spirit had disconnected from God. And he was crying out for that renewal because he did not want to live without the presence of the Lord. And he cried out and he said, do not take your presence from me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Without the Spirit of the living God, we are nothing. God's Spirit gives us life, and life more abundantly. So David prayed for renewal, a renewed spirit within him. He needed a spiritual repair, and only God can make spiritual repairs. He is the great physician, hallelujah. He's a lover of our soul. He's a soul physician, and he heals us and repairs us. So maybe you can relate to David's desperate cry. David had a deep repentance. He acknowledged that the state of his spirit had affected his connection with God. And he was heartbroken over his actions. And the thing David prays for is exactly what we're talking about in this series. He's asking for renewal, a renewed spirit within him. So this psalm and others that have been written is the very reason David is referred to in the scriptures as a man after God's own heart. It wasn't because David was flawless. It wasn't because David was perfect. But it was because David was willing to confront his sin. He faced up to his wrongful choices and asked God for forgiveness and restoration. A person who has a renewed spirit is a person who longs to be right with God and is willing to repent in order to be fresh and clean of heart. So the question would be, how heartbroken do we get over our sins? Do they grieve us? Do we long for renewal? You know, there are historical accounts in the scriptures of individuals who, through repentance, experienced a renewed spirit within them. And so we were in the Old Testament. We're going to look at one in the New Testament. And we're just going to look at one. And this is about Zacchaeus. Who's heard the story about Zacchaeus? Awesome. Okay. So we're going to read in Luke 19, 1 through 4. It says this. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, or who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. So the man Zacchaeus is described in some pretty significant ways in that passage. First of all, he's a tax collector. Well, and he was also a Jew. So this more than likely means he was at least viewed, if not confirmed to be a sympathizer with the Rome and a thief. Many tax collectors would overcharge individuals to take some off the top and become rich. Well, the second thing it says in that passage is Zacchaeus was rich. This was likely true because of his practice of taking advantage of people. And so Zacchaeus may have been fully aware of his bad reputation and his corrupt heart. Unsafe people will take advantage of you. Sometimes we're fully aware of our broken spirit, but we ignore it. Maybe for Zacchaeus, this is the reason he wants to see Jesus so badly. And when Jesus was coming to town, he had to climb a sycamore tree because he was so short, so he could see over the heads of people. Have you ever been in a situation? Some of you are really tall, but I know some of my short friends, they always have a hard time seeing around all the big people. That's what I always think of. So our desire for Jesus is seen in our actions. That's the second point. In the first four verses, we see a component in experience of renewed spirit. And that is Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus? It seems simple, but honestly, many individuals never get to that place. Far too many of us never develop that desire to see Jesus in our lives, in our everyday lives. And many people aren't willing to do the hard work like Zacchaeus did and climb a tree to get a better view. For us, it wouldn't be climbing a tree to get a better view, but it would be spending time in God's word and spending time in prayer and spending time in counsel and just receiving from the Lord. Many of us get in the giving mode. If you've been a Christian for very long, you want to come up with the answer. You want to share the answer. But being in a place where you're receiving from the Lord and also receiving from those who are more mature, tell your neighbor there's always someone more mature. There will always be someone who knows more than you. There will always be someone who can preach it and teach it better than you. And so we are to be open to hear and to receive from one another what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us through His Word. And so Zacchaeus was desperate to get a glimpse of Jesus. He just wanted to be close to Him. And the amazing thing, let's go on and read the rest of the story. Verses 5 and 7 says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone,'" Jesus, in other words, "'has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.'" So all these judgmental, critical, religious people are standing nearby criticizing the fact that Jesus wanted to spend time with Zacchaeus, who was considered a sinner. They didn't like Zacchaeus very much. And so sometimes when people don't like someone else, they don't want them to have any spiritual benefits. Verses 8 to 10, "Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" So, you know, it's a surprising twist in the story when Jesus acknowledges Zacchaeus and wants to spend time with him. I can only imagine how excited Zacchaeus was. And he probably was thinking, well, it paid off that I climbed up in that tree. And isn't it interesting, when Jesus got to him, he knew his name. Nobody told him. He knew his name and he called him down. So all of a sudden, this man who was too short, a tax collector, a thief, and hated by many, was going to be hosting Jesus Christ. And this was God's way of saying, no one is too far gone that I will not come to rescue them. Let's give the Lord a praise. We just don't want to be one of those people who stand around and mumble and grumble because God wants to save somebody. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where we came from. It doesn't matter what we've done. What matters is today that Jesus Christ becomes our Lord and Savior. So, you know, they really miss the point on what God does. He goes after those who are weary in spirit. He goes after those that are far away from Him. It's encouraging to know that you're not too far gone. And I've heard people say that, oh, I'm just too far gone to find my way back. No, you're never too far back gone. Jesus extends His love and His grace to each one of us. So Zacchaeus' response to Jesus wanting to come to his house tells you everything about how he wanted spiritual renewal. He knew he had harmed others, and he was willing to make restitution. And that is part of how each one of us should respond. If our sin has harmed others, we demonstrate our desire for Jesus by making it right. And if our sin harms our relationship with God, we demonstrate our desire for Jesus by making a change. I read a story about a town named Wabush. Wabush. Have you ever heard of Wabush? It's up in Canada. And it's a great illustration, and I looked this up to make sure it was right, because sometimes preachers write stories that, well, you just want to make sure they're true, right? But this town is a remote town in Canada, and for a long time it was isolated, and they recently cut a road through the wilderness to reach it. And now there is one road that leads into it. And to get out of it, you have to make a complete change, turn around, and go out one way. And so this road is about 714 miles long. And I looked that up to find out how many cities are like within 700 miles of Elkhart. And one that came up, Elder Jim, was Albany, New York. It's about 700 some miles. And so this would be a straight shot road into this town, and then you turn around and come back. And the updates on this road is they hope to have it completely paved by 2022. So this is something that's pretty recent. For a long time, it's just been a dirt road, unpaved road for 700 miles into this town. So if you want to put that into a spiritual perspective, each one of us, by birth, arrive in a town called sin. And there's only one way out. And that road is built by God Himself. But in order for us to take that road, we have to first turn around. And that complete about face is what the Bible calls repentance. And without it, there's no way out of town. Somebody say amen. So renewal, my third point is renewal requires repentance. Acts 3:19 says, "And now you must repent and turn back to God so that your sins will be removed and so that times of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence." The refreshing that we long for in our soul comes from the Lord's presence. It doesn't come from material items. You know, you can buy this and try this restaurant and go here and go there. But the refreshing that satisfies our soul comes from the presence of the living God. So we see how Zacchaeus was renewed, refreshed. There was an outward demonstration of that because he was willing to give back possessions to the poor. He promised to pay back four times as much to anyone he stole from. So there was a return on their money. So when we encounter Jesus in life-changing ways, and when we ask God to forgive us, it means our life will never be the same. Zacchaeus' life was never the same after that. So when we repent, there should be evidence. The fruit of repentance, the scripture calls it. So Zacchaeus, he experienced salvation based on his response to Jesus' invitation. And isn't that how we experience salvation? Jesus gives each one of us an invitation. And you know, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, it's an amazing experience. But as we walk with the Lord and He continues to transform us and change us, aren't you amazed at the person you have become? When you think about who you were and how Jesus has brought you, if you haven't experienced that yet, you're going to experience that if you walk with Jesus, because He will change you. He will transform you. And Jesus came because He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come to pursue each one of us. And it just reminds me of the hymn, Amazing Grace. It's a hymn that was written many years ago by a man who was a former enslaver. And he was on a slave ship, and it was falling apart, and a storm came up. And he knew his life was a mess. His mom had taught him about God. And he had strayed so far from the Lord and ran so far from Him. And in his wretched condition, he penned this song. And he cried out to the Lord for mercy. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I think most everyone has heard that song. But Newton knew that he needed renewal, and he did not want to die the way that he was. And so he met with the Lord on that ship and penned this famous hymn. It's probably the most famous hymn of all times. So we are transformed. Point number four, and we're on our way home here. We're transformed by grace. Ephesians 2:8, read this with me, please. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then let's read it in the Message translation. Saving is all His idea and all His work. All we do is trust Him enough to let Him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. Thank you, Lord, that we are transformed by grace. We don't ever want anything to keep us from responding to the Lord's invitation to meet with us. And we do not want to walk away and not repent when we see the condition that our soul is in. Often people believe they don't deserve God's grace, or they don't deserve to be forgiven. Or they'll beat themselves up with words like, I should have known better. I never should have made that choice. But God isn't beating us up. When we repent of our sin, He forgives us. And as far as the east is from the west, He takes them. But we need to be willing to be to confront our sin. And that's probably one of the hardest parts. But we saw how David did it, and we saw how Zacchaeus did it. So we need to trust God's grace for us, and we need to embrace God's grace for us, and we then need to extend grace to others. So this morning, in closing, if you'd like to experience a renewed spirit within you today, you can. And this is just a simple prayer. And if you'd like to read it with me, let's read it together. God, forgive me for my sin. I know it hurts your heart and disconnects me from you. Fill me with your spirit and empower me to live a life that is in line with your will. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So let's just spend just a few minutes in His presence this morning. Lord, we desire for our spirits to be renewed. And Lord, You brought this group of people together this morning to hear this message. So Lord, we just thank You for Your ministry to each person today. We thank You, Lord, for Your ministry. Thank You, Jesus, for music. Thank You, Father, for Your ministry this morning, Lord, as we sit in Your presence. And as we're preparing to receive communion this morning, we just thank You, Lord, this is a good time to search our hearts. Lord, shine Your spotlight on our hearts. This is an act. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." until I come again. And so we're remembering that the Lord is coming again when we receive this cup and take this bread. We remember that he shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin so that we could come to the Heavenly Father, so that we could make that turnaround and go on the path that God, the road that God prepared for us to go on. It was bought with the blood of Jesus for us. We remember that by your stripes this morning, we are healed as we partake of this. Thank you for your healing this morning, Father. Those that are at home partaking, thank you, Lord, for healing them this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your hand upon our lives. God, we love you. We're so honored to be able to do this together as your body, as your church, as your ecclesia in the earth. Just thank you.